My name is Kathy Riley Evans, and I'm at the McDonough Museum.
Alrighty, Kathy, when and where were you born?
I was born in Youngstown, Ohio, in Mahoning County.
Okay. And where did you, like, grow up? Were you in the same spot, or...?
I actually grew up on Braden Street at first. I went to school at St. Pat's for first grade. And then my father, as a wedding anniversary gift, built my mother a house in Cornisburg. And we moved there. Then it was different. There was only three houses on the street when we moved there. Mm-hmm. So there was really nobody to play with, nobody really to do anything with. But I went to St. Christine's for a while. Then I went to Kirkmere. Then I went to Volney. And then finally Cheney.
You were everywhere.
Yeah. Back then, the schools were kind of different than they are now. Mm. And that, so, you know, you went to... I actually went to the closing of Volney. I went through it, and I remember looking at it, and I thinking, it looks so small because it was so big. Mm. And here, one of the kids that I went to school with was the principal.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty wild. Did you have any siblings, brothers or sisters?
I have one brother. My brother Billy, and right now I'm kind of sad. He has a starting a dementia, and he's just really, you know, super, and it's kind of sad, but he's still doing good with it and loves his grandchildren. His grandchildren come to visit, and but it still kind of makes you, you know.
Right. What did you think your life would be like when you were older? Like, when you were a kid, did you have any, like, aspirations as to, like, what you would be, or, you know what I mean?
I think back then I really didn't think of that, because back in the 60s we were more, you know, back then we were free to play different than the kids play nowadays. Like, we could go do whatever, and we really didn't think that far ahead. You know, we could go down to Mill Creek Park, ride our bikes from Cornisburg down to Mill Creek Park and go ice skating. They'd freeze the Bear's Den tennis court, and we could do that. So we had more of that type of thing than really thinking and being concerned about what was going to... We were more free and that. And all the parents watched us back then, too. Not like, you know, not like now. Like they do say, all the parents would correct you, and you know that if you did something. But, yeah, it was different back then. You didn't think that far ahead. I didn't think that far ahead.
Right. What do you do now?
Now I'm working for Second Harvest Food Bank as a receptionist. I'm getting older, so I went with Mature Services, and they put me into nonprofit. But before that, I had worked for 28 years for Head Start. And my kids went to Head Start. I started out as a parent volunteer. And I was getting a divorce, and the head of it was Mrs. Ferguson, Ida Ferguson. She came knocking on my door on a Sunday. And I remember I had a house payment due in a week, and I was sitting there crying, and I didn't know what I was going to do. I had two kids, you know, and I'm like, and she goes to me, she says, well, she said, would you like a job? And I looked at her like, yeah, you know, can you start on Monday? And I said, yeah. So I started on Monday, and I started out as an assistant, became a teacher, became a family advocate, and I did a lot on the board and taught a lot of kids. And I still run into kids. You know, I actually took a job at McDonald's when I was in my 50s because I wanted to get a new car. And I heard this, Miss Evans, Miss Evans. And I turned around, and it was one of the kids that I had had in Head Start. He was, like, way, way tall and just real. And when my car would break down, he'd give me rides to work at McDonald's. So I worked the two jobs for a while. But, yeah, my cat made a big difference in my life. It helped me to provide for my kids and give me... I never thought of my job as a job. I thought of it as a profession. And, you know, I used to sit there and think, well, I'm watching these kids. And I used to think, I hope somebody's watching my kids and taking care of them the way that we took care of the kids in Head Start.
Alrighty. Who was the biggest influence on your life, and what lessons did that person teach you?
Definitely my cousin Mary Lou. My cousin Mary Lou Carson is older than me. But she was, my mother died when I was 46. She had had a bad heart, and she had diabetes. And so there wasn't really anybody to ask. My father had gotten a brain tumor 3 months after she died. So his mother came out to live with us, and she was in her 80s. And, of course, I was a teen, and that didn't all sit all that good with the two of us. But I would call my cousin Mary Lou every time I had a problem. I remember the first time when I got married when I had to cook a turkey. I didn't know how to do that. And I called her and she said, well, you have to stick your hand in there and pull everything out. And I'm like, no, you know, I really don't want to do that. But from the time I was little, when we would go to her house, I would always go upstairs and she'd have records playing and she had the neatest lipsticks and the nail polish and just, you know. So we still are close. I talk to her at least once or twice a week, and we go out to dinner sometimes together and do things together, and we worked on family history for a lot of years and that. Mm-hmm. My vision got bad, so I can't really do too much with that, but I'll give her ideas on where to look for something, and then she'll do it on computer and that. But I think the teaching part I got from her, she was a teacher at Holy Family for years, and I just thought that that was the neatest thing to do, you know. Mm-hmm. So I think she really influenced me that way. And my daughter was born premature, 3 months premature, my oldest daughter, and I just thought that it was the end of the world. Mm-hmm. But I remember when she came into the room to visit, I just knew that everything was going to be okay. Mm-hmm. That there was, you know, because she always, whenever there was something big, I would always call her, and I still do, you know. Mm-hmm. She automatically knows that it's me. She goes, what's up, you know, and she'll know that it's something that's really, really bothering me. So she was a big influence on my life and still is. And yeah, will continue to be.
That's amazing. You guys are still slow. Yeah. What are the most important lessons you've learned in life so far?
I think that I've learned to be myself. I wasn't a follower when I was growing up. Like, you know, like lots of my friends were doing things that I just didn't agree with. And my best girlfriend Dee had a band. So, you know, we used to travel around, and I was the one that had the license. So you always met people that weren't, but I just didn't follow. But I was always accepted by, you know, most of the people that I had met over the years and that, you know, because we would come here, down here to YSU, her band would play at the Roost. So naturally you had a lot of people in there that were, but yeah, that would be it. It would be yourself, and don't be afraid to be yourself. You know, you don't have to be a follower. And I told my daughters that. Right. You know, you be who you are and don't worry about who they are. Mm-hmm. But be true to yourself.
Right.
So I think that that was a big thing for me and for my daughters. Mm. And that. But, yeah, that would be it.
Alrighty. What was the happiest moment of your life and the saddest moment?
The happiest moment of my life is when I had my daughter, Erin. They had always told me that I couldn't have kids. I was married for almost 9 years. Mm-hmm. And I was a bad diabetic, when I got pregnant with her. And I remember the doctor saying, well, people like you shouldn't have kids. And I jumped off the table and went to him, what do you mean, people like me? You know, I'm no different than anybody else. But Erin was the happiest. And it was also sad because she was born 3 months premature. And they didn't know whether she was going to make it through the first 24 hours. I remember them bringing her over to me and showing me to her, and she was, like, blue like a popsicle. Mm-hmm. But I had friends from Cheney that worked in the intensive care unit. But I would be nervous because every time I would hear crash cart to such and such or to neonatal, I would get nervous. But with the help of my friends, she was in the hospital for 3 months. She dropped from 9 pounds down to 4 pounds, and then I had to sit and wait and bring her home. But it was the happiest thing because I had wanted to be a parent. I always wanted to have kids and just be. And the saddest had to be my daughter Brianna was working at a job, and she had met a young fellow, and, you know, she'd brought him home, and he was nice. He was taking engineering down here at YSU. She was really happy with him. Well, we found out that he had a past. He had killed his brother when he was 18. And he, you know, was having a hard time dealing with things because when you have a background like that, you know, you can't get into an apartment. You can't get the job you want. You can't be. So I think he had a lot of problems and a lot of issues that nobody recognized. And one night Brianna woke up and he was choking her. And, you know, she had to fight to get away from him. He had more or less kidnapped her and she came home. She came home from the hospital. She didn't call me. She had a friend take her. And when she walked in, I just wanted to fall to the floor. It was just, no parent lives to think that something like that would happen to your child. When I saw her, she had marks around her neck where he had choked her, and all the blood vessels in her eyes were busted, and just, and because of it, she got post-traumatic stress. And it was really hard on the two of us. She was a hard worker, and she couldn't work. Mm-hmm. And she would be, but I got in touch with the victims here in Youngstown. And it was a really good thing for her to be in. They went to court with her. They helped her get help because she came down with post-traumatic stress. And that was hard on her. It's been over almost 2 years now. And she's doing better, but the whole court thing was. And every time she would have to go someplace, I remember, I didn't want her to know that I was crying, but I know that I would always cry, and I still do, if I think about what happened or what could have happened. And I always used to say to my kids, by the grace of God, go we. And I remember thinking that day, by the grace of God went my daughter. And I thank him every day for that. And she's getting better. She's moved in an apartment. She's working again. But I think the justice system, I felt, is what let me down. Because because he was to get 20 years. And they plea bargained, and he's only ended up serving maybe 4.5 years. But I'm hoping that through the legal system that they do more things with those type of guys that come out. Because mm-hmm. they're not ready to come into society. They don't have. He went in at 18 and came out in his late 20s, and he had no idea the changes that went on, and I think that causes problems for a lot. So I'm hoping that somewhere along the line that there is a change, and I'd kind of like to do something to help that change so that other girls don't. Mm-hmm. Because girls nowadays get involved with guys, and I had so many mothers that were involved with guys that were just, and I had mothers that died over the years due to that, mm-hmm. and it was always sad. And I ended up having some of their kids, their grandmothers were raising them. So I hope that way, I hope I can become more involved in something like that. And Bree is doing good, and, you know, she's happy now, and she's more. But like I told her, you know, when it first happened, I said, you know, when you fall down and you have this scab on your leg. But I said, as it heals, it fades. And I told her, I said, this will always be with you. But I said, it'll fade. It'll never go away, but it'll fade. And you'll be able to have a life. Mm. So my kids are the best of what I have. So it's a good life for us now, and I'm happy, and I'm looking forward to old age, I guess. Mm. I want to live to be 85, and I want to do as much as I can. I told my kids, lots of people help us, so you make sure that you give back to other people as you're growing.
Right.
So that's something that I instilled with my kids. They always, when they were little, would even put stuff in the Salvation kettle. So I think that I want to continue to give back to people as much as I can give back. Mm-hmm. That's why I like MyCap. MyCap is a good organization.
Yeah.
And that, so. But, yeah, we're all doing good, and we hope to learn more about each other mm-hmm. and that. And like I said, I hope I live to be very old.
Past 85.
Yes, past 85.
Yeah. Do you think about dying, or are you scared of it or anything?
I do, but I'm not scared because I've had so many things where I almost did die. I had open heart surgery. Then they thought I had leukemia. And I think the worst part during that whole was that I lost my house. I bought a house to retire, and I lost it. And to this day, I still won't go down that street. My kids make fun of me, but I won't do it. But, yeah, no, I'm not as scared of dying because I've seen what, you know, the help that you do get from God as you're living. And I got a lot of help, and by the grace of God went I. So I'm not afraid of that. I think it's leaving my kids will be the hardest thing for me. I just wish I could live on and on and on and on, you know. Right. But that doesn't happen. But, yeah, by the grace of God will go I. Mm-hmm. So, no, I'm not afraid of that.
Good. Let's see. What about just
Youngstown? Yeah. Cornersburg was cool. Cornersburg was a little town, sort not a town exactly. When I moved out there, we had one gas station. We had an Isley's. And my best friend lived in an old farmhouse, Letha. And her parents had come from a mining town down in West Virginia, and they had an outhouse. No mm-hmm. stove. A refrigerator, but her mother could make the best fried potatoes on one of those little stovetop thingies that sat in the house. And yeah, and there was woods. We had woods behind our house on South Wendover, and we always played in them. And I could walk to school, to Kirkmere, through the woods, and then come home through the woods. Wow. And there were ponds back there. I would always catch, like, frogs and stuff and tadpoles and just... Mm-hmm. And it was neat. And for my girlfriends, it was the first place they smoked. They were all sitting back there, and I'm like, yuck. I never ended up smoking, and I was good because Dr. Franco told me, he said, that's one of the things that helped you with your heart surgery because you didn't smoke. But we would also take apples out of her mother's house, and we would stick them on sticks and build a fire in the woods, and we would be roasting them, and the boys would come in there and be teasing us about roasting them, and we'd roast bread back there. Mm-hmm. And it was nice because the ponds would freeze over, and we could go back and ice skate on the ponds in the woods and just be... It was a nice area. There was no buses, though. I mean, you could very seldom go to town. If you missed a bus, you missed it. You just didn't. If you had to hike it into Glenwood Avenue to catch a bus. Wow. Or we had to go shopping on Market Street until they put a store out there for us to shop at. And there was Cornersburg Pizza. Mr. Luceni built a Cornersburg Pizza, and when us kids were all in high school, we would go and fold boxes for him, and he would give us free pizza. And I remember my teacher, Miss Hornetowski, they built a Dairy Queen, and I went up to get Dairy Queen when it opened, and I looked, and there was Miss Hornetowski. She was working at it. And I thought, no, I don't think that this is a good place to be. Mm-hmm. But it was nice. They started building up, and we got stuff. And the neighbors that came into the neighborhood, like I said, ours was the third house. I met a friend, Jana Coleman, and her mother became a big influence in my life also. She taught me how to cook. She could really cook, Mm-hmm. But my father, he designed a lot of windows here in Youngstown, and he worked a lot of times. He worked for Trust Con, and my mother was a nurse, and I was the only one on the street that had two parents that worked. So lots of times my mother would be coming in from work, and my father would be going out to work, and I would be leaving for school, so I really didn't see him a lot. Mm-hmm. So I spent a lot of time down at Mrs. Coleman's, Janet's parents' house, and they would take me out to Lake Milton to their cottage. They had a cottage out there, and I would go to Cleveland and babysit for her sister when she didn't want to babysit. So it was a nice area, Cornersburg. And lots of people don't call it that. They call it the West Side, but for those of us that grew up in Cornersburg, we still call it Cornersburg.
Right.
And the boundary lines were weird because if you went under the light at 62 on Canfield Road, one part was Austintown, one part was Canfield, one part was Boardman, and one part was Youngstown. There was an accident under there, under the light. And we were in the pizza shop when it happened, and we walked out, and all these policemen were standing there arguing under which area the accident happened. And we're just standing there. But you had friends from Canfield, you had friends from Austintown, Youngstown, mm-hmm. Boardman. So you were within walking, maybe a block or two. I could cross over Meridian Road and be in Austintown, mm-hmm. So it was kind of neat because we were able to have friends in all different areas. So we went to different school dances, we went to different places and that. And then with my girlfriend's band, we went a lot of places with that. Mm-hmm. She lives in Columbus, and I still keep in touch with her. And once in a while, the bands have reunions. She had a band called the Boys and Ivy. They have reunions. And most of them were from the Cornersburg area, a lot of the ones that were in it, and from Wilson. Mm-hmm. And that, so it was a cool place to live. Yeah. A lot of sled riding, a lot of bike riding in the area, and a lot of parents sitting out on porches watching us kids at night. But we could be out till 10 or 11 o'clock riding our bikes while our parents sat and talked. And mm-hmm. it's so much different. I wish the kids had that sort of life nowadays and that. But my kids did. They grew up on Ravenwood. Okay. And they, to this day, they still call that home when you ask them where home is, they'll say Ravenwood. Mm-hmm. It's like they had a friends and just did stuff. And mm-hmm. This has been really nice for me to do. I really enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. And I want to thank you very much for doing it for the community.
Thank you. Yeah,
it makes a difference. It.